Well, this morning I'm continuing looking at some selected verses in Proverbs, as I've done the previous two occasions that I've spoken to you. You'll have to forgive me this morning. I've put my notes on the screen in front of me so that I can try and keep eye contact with you. But when I am quoting from the Bible or reading from the Bible, my eyes will be on my screen over there. So it might be a little bit distracting. I can put it on the screen in front of me, but the problem is I then end up flicking around with my mouse and it becomes a little bit confusing for me. So please forgive me if I lose eye contact with you when I look at that screen over there. I'm going to talk this morning about something that's not overly popular in the modern church or the modern Christian scene. And that is, I'm going to be talking about when God brings us correction. And some of this has been brought about, as you know, that I'm doing my studies at St. Melitus and I've got a project and I'm looking at church membership, and part of church membership is about church discipline. And please don't panic. It's not about you either agree with me or you're out. That's not what I will explain, not in this preach, but a later preach, and certainly in my notes that I produce as part of my project, that church discipline is about living a constant Christian life that is in line with the Bible and agreeing with the doctrines that the Bible teaches. But yeah, that's just I digress. I mean, some of the exciting books I'm looking at, biblical church discipline, church membership, church discipline, they're quite interesting. But it's very interesting that the discipline, perhaps when we hear the word discipline, we think that it's going to be this overbearing discipline. You do what I say or you're out. That's not what this is about. And it certainly isn't how God disciplines us either. But I do want to talk about church. I do want to talk about God's discipline, because he does correct us and he has a need sometimes to correct us. So we need to make sure that we understand discipline. And discipline is to do with the family of God. You see, the church is the bride of Christ, and he's coming back for the bride of Christ, and he wants to come back for a bride that is beautiful. He wants to come back from a bride that is wholesome, and he wants to come back for a bride that is longing and looking for him. He doesn't want to come back for some ragtail bride and that's all over the place. And that kind of thing. And so every child of God, whether you attend church or not, will be corrected by God's discipline. Now, I know that's not a popular thing. And in today's church, and you'll hear lots of messages that will all be about how God loves you, how God wants to bless you, how God wants to do this for you, how God's full of grace and all those kind of things. And all that is true. But there's also a side to it, that God disciplines his children. God disciplines his family in order to bring them not to their knees in broken submission, although that might be the case if it's an ongoing and deep sin, but to make sure that his bride is right and together and unified. Now, that doesn't mean we all have to agree on doctrine, because there are plenty of things that I wouldn't agree with that are, say, Catholic doctrine. And I don't agree with it, but we're talking about individuals in churches and how God disciplines us. And when God disciplines us and we do the right thing, he's delighted with us. He's absolutely delighted with us. And we get into the family of God. Well, let me read the passage from Proverbs I want to just focus on this morning. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 11 and 12. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. And it says this: do not despise the Lord's instruction, my son, and do not loathe his discipline. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father disciplines a son in whom he delights. See, God's discipline, as it says here, is that we shouldn't, is something we shouldn't despise, and it's something we shouldn't loathe, because he disciplines the ones he loves. So the message that you'll get from many of your online preachers is all about how God loves you, how God wants to bless you, and all that's all very true. But sometimes God wants to discipline us, because he will not allow unchecked sin and wrong theology and wrong behavior to go by the by. He says, no, I need to correct that. So, and when it happens, it's not comfortable, it's not easy. But rather than react in our, perhaps our modern thinking and say, well, if you don't like that, then Lord, I'm going off to this church where they will preach me love and grace. That's not going to help either. God disciplines the ones he loves. And if we profess to love the Lord, then as this scripture says, then we shouldn't despise his instructions, which is the word of the Lord, and we certainly shouldn't loathe his discipline when it comes along. You see, it says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. Not one person can say that they haven't sinned. Now, that should become something that we try and move away from, because none of us are naturally God's children. We have to come to a place of repentance in order to be part of his family. And it's only through God, as it says in Romans, I'm sure you're familiar with the Romans walk through salvation, but it says in Romans 5 verse 10, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life?" You see, it was the death of Jesus while we were sinners. In fact, if we back up to Romans 5 verse 8, it says, "But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we have now been declared righteous by his blood, will we be saved through him from wrath? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life?" Hallelujah. Those are great truths. While we were enemies, Jesus died for us. And it's through his blood, as this says, that we are righteous and therefore we are saved from wrath. That is a great truth for us to be delightful in this morning. But what it means is that having been reconciled, we will be saved too by his life. We are reconciled to God and we enter into his family at the point of repentance. John 3 verse 3 tells us this. It says, "Jesus replied, 'Truly I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" Unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He goes on and it says, "How can anyone be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked him. "How can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you, you must be born again." We must be born again. That's the only way we can get into God's kingdom. And it's only through Jesus that we do that. But the problem is that once we're born again, we are still fleshly people. We still live in the flesh. Now, I know this is going to upset some people, but there is a teaching, particularly in the modern church and the more sort of progressive modern churches. So I'm talking about Bethel. Sadly, I'm talking about sometimes Joyce Meyer has been on record as saying this. Kenneth Copeland, some of these Word of Faith people. And they're going around saying that they don't sin anymore, because they are forgiven, and if you're forgiven, you can't be righteous and sinful. That's clearly not what the Word of God says. We are all sinners, and the flesh continues to sin. We're all enticed into those wicked, horrible things, and we need to repent again. And so God sometimes disciplines his children when we've entered into that sin, and sometimes we'll know that we've sinned. But sometimes we know that we've sinned and we might think we've got away from it. But God brings his discipline. It says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." If we go back to our scripture in Proverbs 3, it says that we must not despise the Lord's instruction and must not loathe his discipline. You see, God loves us enough to discipline us. It's his love that disciplines us. And if we're in God's family and we want to be moving on and growing in our Christian faith, we have to expect sometimes that God will bring discipline in our lives. Now, I know God is a God of love, and I know God wants to bless us. And that is so true. But it is one side of the equation. In order to get to a point of blessing, in order to get to that point where we can walk truly and holy with God, he said, well, we need to address these areas of sin. We need to address this mindset. We need to address this behavior. And so God chastens us in those moments. But the great thing is, as that proverb says, is that the chastening or the correction from God, the discipline from God, That's what brings us the love and shows that we are part of his family. And he's only doing it for our own good. He's doing it because he loves us. And because God is a God of order and he's a holy God, then he only will stand holiness in his presence. That's why he disciplines us. The problem in the lives of God is that, sorry, the problem of us who live in the life of God is that we have a purpose and we have a destiny. And you know what? We can circumvent that through our own sin and our own waywardness, which is why we need to be chastened by God or disciplined by God and come to that place of repentance. So even as born again believers right now, there are things in our lives which say, Lord, I am so sorry for that sin. I am so sorry for getting involved in that. I'm so sorry for that mindset. I'm sorry for thinking ill of that person. I'm sorry for speaking badly in that situation, whatever it might be. You see, none of us escape the body of flesh until we depart this earth. So it's a heresy that some people teach to say they don't sin anymore because they're full of the Holy Spirit and they're regenerated. I'm sorry, that's just not what the Bible teaches. And if you hear it, then you should just switch it off. It's not right. It's not what God says in his word. You see, God disciplines us because he wants to make us like Jesus. That's the whole point we're here on this earth, is to be like Jesus and to show Jesus to the people. It says this in Romans 8, verse 28 and 29. It says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that they would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So all things do work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. See, and the purpose is to make us like Jesus. You know, we're never going to be perfect on this earth. Never. Not before the Lord returns. But we can start to walk a life and lead a life where we are so in tune with God that when we sin, we repent and say, God, I am so sorry. Because then God is able to use us. But the problem is, if we keep sinning in the same area over and over and over and over, maybe sometimes God has to bring some discipline in order to break that sin pattern in our life, to break that thing that keeps that hold over us. God's correcting is evidence that God loves us. Now, it's never pleasant to be corrected. It's not pleasant to be corrected as an adult by other adults in this life. But a lot of what I've been reading about church discipline is that we are to look out for one another. And we're not to go up to somebody and say, you've been sinning. No, we're to go up to people and say, hey, can we just talk about, I saw something the other day, or you said something, or something, I'm just a bit worried or a bit concerned about you. It's out of love that you bring this discipline. And God uses us as Christians to help discipline, help to bring correction to our fellow Christians, not to mess and meddle in their lives. That's not what God's talking about, but to bring a level of, hey, you know, I noticed the other day, I tell you a story once when I was at work. We used to sit in a cubicle of four of us, and my manager used to sit on my left, and he was two grades above me. And there was one particular lady who had a bit of a reputation for liking certain men. And when she set her mind on somebody, she did this, and she had a bit of a terrible reputation. Well, I noticed that my boss was starting to take phone calls. He was married, but he started to take phone calls from this woman and started to flirt with her on the phone and started to. And the conversation, as I was sitting there over a period of 2 or 3 weeks, started to get more and more and more concerning to me. Now, he wasn't a Christian, but I remember just asking him if we could have a coffee one day, and we went and had a coffee. I was newly married myself, and we just sat down, and I just said to him, look, I won't say his name, but I just said to him, look, I'm a bit concerned. This lady that you've been talking to, you do know that she has had a bit of a reputation. Oh, yeah, I know all about that. And I said, well, you know, far be it from me to tell you what you should and shouldn't do, but I've noticed over the last couple of weeks that your conversations with her have become more and more intense and more flirtatious and the rest of it. And you know, he didn't obviously say, oh, you're so right and I'm so wrong. But what he said was, is he said, I really appreciate you taking the time and the risking of our relationship to let me know. And he says, actually, he said, you're right. And I'm going to do something about it. And he did do something about it. Now, that wasn't, I didn't stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, you sinner. I just tried to, as a friend, not even as a Christian, he's not a Christian, but just as a friend, just say to him, mate, you got to watch out. You know, your marriage, you're married to somebody. You shouldn't be doing that. And it tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 10 and 11, it says this, for they disciplined us for a short time based on what seemed good to them. But he, that's God, does it for our benefit so that we can share his holiness. And this is it. Verse 11. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time. Not only for the person who's being disciplined. I know this isn't in scripture. But the person who's also disciplining. God doesn't delight in disciplining us. He doesn't sit there thinking, who am I going to discipline today? It's really painful as a dad to discipline your children. I hated doing it when my children were growing up, because in some way you have to not crush them or destroy them, but you have to basically give them a boundary and give them consequences when they cross that boundary. And it's painful. I hated doing it sometimes, but you have to do it in order to bring up children that are rounded and right and are not just tearaways. And it says in verse 11, no discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Man, I've been disciplined by some of my friends, some of my dear friends, even you guys in the church. I'm not going to sort of go through it again now, but I can remember a time when I posted something on Facebook and Stephen Hayes, he lovingly called me out on it. And do you know what? He was right. Now, it didn't seem enjoyable at the time, but later on, it yielded peaceful fruit. Why? Because I reflected on it and actually felt, yeah, he was right. So we're looking out for each other, not to try and poke around in each other's lives, not to call each other filthy sinners, but to make sure we're living lives of righteousness, that we're growing to be more like Christ every day. And so discipline is something that God uses, but sometimes he might use us to bring that discipline. And as it says, it's not enjoyable at the time, not for the person bringing it, nor for the person receiving it. But if we love each other in Christ and we do it with the right heart and in the right manner and the right motive, then actually it can yield, as it says here, fruit, peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who've been trained by it. Man, I want righteous fruit in my life. And so, you know, I'm not saying come and discipline me. I want to be a filthy sinner. But what I am saying is when you spot things, just because I'm the leader of the church doesn't mean I'm free from sin. Doesn't mean that I'm more righteous than anybody else. I am just as much a sinner as every single other person who's in this church. And I need just as many prayers, if not more prayers, because I will need to give an account for how I led the church and how I led you guys. It's that we love each other and we look out for each other. Being a leader just means that I was willing, volunteered, and God asked me to do it, and I was willing to do it. God is delighted when we respond in obedient love to his discipline. Now again, we need to make sure that when we do discipline, it's not our preference that we're forcing on that person, that it is true, it is godly, and it's what God wants, and it's according to his word. But God is delighted when we learn from his correction. As it says in that verse in Proverbs, where it says, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves, just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights. God is delighted. He doesn't like disciplining us. But when he does discipline us and we repent and we turn and we produce godly righteous fruit, he is delighted. You want to know how to delight God this morning? Then respond to his discipline when he does bring it. And we should never grow tired of God's correction. You know, that just shows us that God is on our case, and God is wanting the best for us, so that all things can work together for good. So that everything that crops up in our lives, we can say, yes, Lord, I responded to you. God is delighted when his discipline produces holy results in our lives. His goal is to develop obedient children, not a children that when he walks in the room, we all stand to attention and say, yes, Lord, what do you want, Lord? But children who are responsive and obedient when his Holy Spirit prompts us, that we say, yes, Lord, we'll do that. Because the more he disciplines us and the more he can trust us, the more bigger assignments he will give us. So if we've ever experienced the discipline of God, just know that it's because God loves you. Just know that it's so that he can take you to another degree of trust and fruit in your life. So respond to it, as it says here in Proverbs. Don't despise the Lord's instructions and don't loathe his discipline. Take it on board so that we can have fruit of righteousness in our life. God corrects us because he loves us. God corrects us because he wants a holy church. Let's be those who respond, not with hurt, not with who do you think you are, but with, okay, Lord, I'm here, I repent of that, help me get through this. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you do bring discipline. Lord, it's not easy at the time. Sometimes, Lord, it's very painful. And perhaps, Lord, when sin is so lovely and when sin seems so right and juicy, but Lord, you bring that discipline, not because you want to crush us, but Lord, you want us to have the best, that you do want to bless us, that you do want to give us good things, you do what you are a God of grace, that you do want to bestow upon us great gifts and see miracles and all those things. But Lord, you can only do that with lives that are sanctified and totally trusting in you. Lord, we thank you for your Son, that by his blood I was declared and we are declared righteous. Lord, again this morning, Father, we ask you and we give you permission to discipline us. Discipline us, Lord, in those areas where you just need to refine us. Won't be easy, won't always be pleasant to be on the receiving end. But Lord, I pray that you will produce that fruit of righteousness in us. Lord, where we see that we need to just lovingly just come alongside somebody and not to shout out their sin or condemn them, but Lord, just to lovingly and gently say, hey, I've noticed this. Do you know this is what the word says? Do you want some help in this? Do you want some prayer? Lord, help us look out for one another. But Father, we thank you that you're looking out for us. And so, Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the times you have disciplined me in my life. Lord, I thank you that you are coming back for a pure and spotless bride. Lord, we thank you for your discipline. And if you agree with that, you can say amen. Amen.